The last church I pastored in the lower 48 was Ferndale. And then we went to Alaska and spent 7.5 years in Nome, Alaska. Nome was way out west and way up north. In fact, from Nome, 200 miles you fly to the west and you're in Russia. I was a lot closer than that in my district because I had St. Lawrence Island. And I could stand on the shore in St. Lawrence Island, and Russia was right over there, 35 miles. Interesting place because the international date line goes between there. So it's 4 o'clock in Gambell over there, just 35 miles. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. It's a privilege to be with you, and I'm impressed with your beautiful church, your school. You've been working very well with the Lord. I can tell that He's been doing great things down here. You know, we can't take credit for what we see around us, can we? We need to give God the thanks for that. Our sermon today is really a prayer. Lord, give me a new heart. And if we just read the scripture together, He promises to do that. You look into Ezekiel. Go back to that now in your own scriptures. And we're going to go back to some earlier verses. Actually, what is happening in that verse? The children of Israel have been scattered all over the place because they had been unfaithful to Him. They'd gotten so far away from serving God that He had allowed them to be scattered in all kinds of places. Various nations. And of course, they ended up, most of them, being captives in Babylon. And He's promising to bring them back and to do wonderful things for them. Ezekiel chapter 36, in verses 18 and 19, well, I'm going to pick it up there. I poured out my fury on them for the blood that they had shed on the land and for their idols which they had defiled it with. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. Verse 21, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Apparently they didn't get too much experience in doing the right thing even when they got scattered. Sometimes when the Lord brings judgment to us, we try to make a change, but they weren't very successful, it sounds like, because they still profaned His name among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. I'm going to do some special things for you, but it's not because you deserve it, but I'm doing it so that the nations all know that I am the Lord and that I love my people. That's why I'm doing it, for my name's sake. Verse 23. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you, therefore, before your eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. I'm going to take you back home to your land, which I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to take you back there. Now here, the next verse is probably the only verse in the Bible that says it's all right to be sprinkled. Did you know the Bible actually talks about sprinkling? Here it is. It's just before that verse where He's going to give us a new heart. Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Who's doing it? Is it the children of Israel that are going to do this? No. It's God who does it. It's God who does it. Then He makes this promise, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. We have a problem. We've inherited a sinful nature from our father Adam. He made a few mistakes way back there in the Garden of Eden, and we've inherited, as Clarence Schiltz said, and by the way, a lot of the things I share with you today, I got the inspiration from Clarence Schiltz, who's the pastor, was the pastor of Rockwood there in the Portland area. I don't know, maybe you've had him come down and do a seminar for you, but he emphasizes this importance of the Lord giving us a new heart. And so some of the things I share with you are things that I've gleaned from what he has shared. It has inspired me to know what God can do for us when we ask him and allow him to do it. Yes, he says, I'll be your God. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put my spirit in you. And because of our friend Adam, our brother, our father, we have come down the line with a flawed DNA, says Clarence Schelt. Our nature is sinful. And I kind of like his illustration. He says, we're kind of like crabapple trees. And a crabapple tree has a real problem trying to become a delicious apple tree. We take this sinful nature and we try to make it better with all of our efforts, and we have a hard problem with that. We really don't see. Did anybody make some New Year's resolutions? We're here at a new year now, aren't we? It's only been 1 month. Have you already broken some of those? You're keeping them. Good. Praise the Lord. It's so easy for us to make resolutions, but too often our resolutions become like ropes of sand. You ever heard of that term? Like ropes of sand. Well, Lord, this year I'm going to start every day with an hour of devotions. I'm going to have a prayer and devotions every morning. Did you say something like that? I hope you did, because that's certainly what we ought to do. By the way, do you know that the World Church, which we're a part of, is calling this the year of evangelism? Did I hear you went to Russia or India or something? I think I heard that in the Sabbath school. My wife and I had the privilege of doing one series in India, doing a few other series, a couple of them in Romania, one in Papua New Guinea, a couple of them in Russia. It's a world church. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of a world church family? It's so nice to go wherever. When we were in Russia, they had goofed up our passport, or our visa, and put some cities on there that really we weren't planning to go to. And one of them was a city right on the border of Mongolia. And so our interpreter, when we were done with our series of meetings, said, would you like to go down there? It's on your visa. I said, yeah, let's go. So we went down there, and do you know what? There was a lovely church family down there, probably about 20 or 30, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so wonderful to find them everywhere we go in the world. But every one of us has the same problem that we're talking about this morning. We've got faulty DNA. We're selfish people. That's our nature. And God says, I want to help you. You've been trying to make delicious apples out of your crab apples. None of you are ever crabby with your wife or your husband, I'm sure, but maybe with another church member. You've been trying to make delicious apples out of crab apples, and it just doesn't work. A crab apple tree only produces crab apples. And so we need the Lord to plant a delicious tree. You don't like delicious apples? Well, maybe a Fuji apple or a Braeburn. They're all pretty good now, aren't they? But the Lord wants to give us a new nature. And no matter how many New Year's resolutions we make to try to change this nature, it won't work. It will not work. A crabapple tree will not produce delicious apples. It just won't. No matter how hard it tries, it will not do that. So we ask the Lord, Lord, create in me a new heart. You make the change. You come in and live your life in us. Wouldn't it have been a joy to have walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years on this earth? Wouldn't it? I think those disciples had the most wonderful privilege that could have been given to mankind. And what did they do with it? They began to talk, well, let me see, I want top position. No, you can't have top position. I get top position. And then they were kind of hesitant to do that, so they even got their mother to go to Jesus and say, I want my son to sit on this side of your kingdom and my other son to sit on this. We do that down here, don't we? By the way, when you get to the government circle, would you put in a good word for... Have you ever say that? Put in a good word for me? Selfish nature is still here, isn't it? It's still here. It's right inside of us. But when Jesus plants that new heart in, he can make it so that, like the Bible suggests, in honor preferring one another, putting others before ourselves. There's some of that in us that I think that the Lord puts in us. I think of that man who was rescuing people there in the icy waters, that airplane crash. This was several years ago in the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. You probably remember the story of how that man helped others get the sling that was coming down from the helicopter and got them hauled off. And finally, all of those that were still alive and floating in the water were rescued, and they came back to get him, and he had drowned in the icy waters. He was gone. He put others first. So there is some of that that is in us. There's always some good. But by the way, if there's ever anything good comes in my life, I should never take credit for it, because it's what Jesus has put in my life, not what I put there. My nature is selfish and sinful. And we could say a lot of other words, couldn't we? But Jesus says, I want to give you a new heart. I'll do that, he says. So why don't I have that? Well, forget your New Year's resolutions. Just pray every morning, Lord, I give you myself. I lay all of my plans at your feet. The servant of the Lord told us to pray that. Do you remember that? I lay all of my plans at your feet to either be followed through or to be changed. If whatever you have in mind for me today, Lord, I am your servant. Use me in your service. And he promises that he will do that. He will take that stony heart, that selfish heart, that crabapple, and he will put that selfless one in there. Only Jesus can do that. But he promises to do it if we ask him to. If we ask him to. He'll give us some new DNA. He promises that if we will just give him first place in our life, he will make those changes. There's a couple of sermons that I've appreciated so much from Kenneth Cox of late. By the way, I told some of you have 3ABN dishes. You know he's doing a series right now on the Bible at 3ABN. But one of the sermons that grabbed me sometime recently was a sermon where in the sermon he re-emphasized the importance of killing the old man. Ooh, that doesn't sound nice, does it? But Paul talked about it too, didn't he? I die daily. I put the old man of sin away. The Lord promised to do that for us when we were baptized. You know that, don't you? As many as die with him, he will bury that. And we're buried in baptism. Then we do what? We rise to a newness of life. That was the beginning of our walk with Christ. How come we keep slipping back? Well, the old man of sin keeps coming back to life, doesn't he? And so we have to keep putting him down or letting the Lord put him down. You know, we're not real good at it, but we can ask the Lord to do that. And that's what Paul says, I die daily. And isn't this what Jesus told us? He said, if you really want to be my follower, if you want this experience where I give you that new heart, he says, any of you who really want that, you need to take up your cross. How often? Daily. It's written in the book of Luke. Take up your cross daily and follow me. We need to die daily. We need to put the old man of sin to death daily. We need to invite the Lord Jesus to put his life in us daily. And probably a whole lot of times during the day. By the way, when you find that old man coming back to life, then you immediately say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry I did that, whatever it was. Be specific. I'm sorry I spoke sharp words to my wife. Now I will go to my wife and I'll say, honey, this morning I'm sorry I spoke so harshly to you. Would you please forgive me? Ask her to forgive you and wait for her to respond, by the way. That makes her tie into you and you tie into her in a mutual bond of, I forgive you, dear. And you see, that's what the Lord wants us to do in our relationship with him, too. Lord, brother so-and-so, when he was giving the announcements, failed to put my announcement in, and I got angry inside. Lord, please forgive me. And then maybe you need to go to the announcement man and say, you know, you forgot my announcement, but I forgive you. I should have probably raised my hand when you said, are there any more announcements? And I didn't do that. We've got to do this with one another as brothers and sisters. We're together in this. And we all want to go to the kingdom, right? Some people say, if brother so-and-so is going to be in the kingdom, I don't want to be there. Oh, dear, you might not be there. Don't say that. Say, Lord, I know you love brother so-and-so, and I'm having problems. Please forgive me for that. Help me to love him like you do. Give me that new heart, that heart which is not selfish. Help me to be like you. So it comes to a point of moment by moment, not just daily, but moment by moment, letting the Lord put his nature in us, his DNA in us, his delicious apples in us, so that what comes out of our mouth is not harsh, overbearing, unkind, cruel, selfish, any of those things, but it's like Jesus would do. Again, I wish that we could experience that. And that's what Jesus wants us to experience. He says, you know, I'm going away, but because I'm going away, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit down, and I and the Father, this is written in John 16, I and the Father will come through the agency of the Holy Spirit, and we will be in you. Can you imagine anything better than that? That's even better than the disciples had. They walked with Jesus, you know, but they didn't get it. It impresses me how many things Jesus told them over and over again. Do you know, if you take and go through the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, in those gospels, Jesus told them, I've marked it in each of the gospels in my Bible. Jesus told them way back early in their walk, he says, you know, I'm going to be persecuted, men are going to hate me. They're going to actually eventually kill me. And all of those things. He told them that 6 times in one gospel, 9 times in another one. They just did not get it. He's only told us once here that he's going to give us a new heart. Think you can hear that? I want to live in you, Jesus says. I am the Father by our Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He will come and we'll be through that agency. We'll be in you and we will live in you if you just let us. So you got to say, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I choose today to give myself to you. If there's any selfishness in my life that I have not surrendered to you, point that out to me. That's a dangerous prayer because he'll do it. But it's an important prayer for us to make because he will show it to us. He'll show us where we're selfish. He'll show us where those simple things are. And then when he shows it to us, then we better say, Father, I'm so sorry for being that way, for doing that. Please forgive me. And be assured that he's already said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I cast your sins behind my back. I forgive you. I cast your sins. Anybody, ocean travelers, into the depths of the sea. How deep is the sea? There are places where it's over a mile deep. Don't try to dive down there, you scuba divers. You'll never make it. I've done a little scuba diving. Far down as I went was about 75 feet. Even at that, you don't want to come up too fast because your body can't handle it. Little nitrogen bubbles don't dissolve and they'll burst your lungs if you come up too fast. So when I went down 75 feet, coming back up, we stopped every so often and paused for about 15, 20, 30 seconds to let the nitrogen bubbles get out. And then we went up a little farther. So don't go digging up your old sins once the Lord has buried them. He put them in the depths of the sea. Believe it when he says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you sins. And then what else? To clean up your life. We read in the promise, I will sprinkle clean water on you and I will cleanse you. And he promises in 1 John 1:9, if you confess, if you admit your mistakes. Now don't say, Father, forgive me for all of my sins. That's like saying to your wife, boy, forgive me for all the times I was cruel to you. That isn't what she wants to hear. She wants to hear what you just did yesterday or today and get that straightened out. Be a little more specific. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be specific because it does something for us. If we admit this was wrong or that was wrong and we take care of it, you can wipe that one out. Forgiveness is hard for us. I still remember Clara Barton's nurse asking her about some guy that had mistreated her and she had basically taken and forgotten that and forgiven him. And then they came into contact once again. The nurse said, don't you remember that? That's the guy that terribly mistreated you. And she said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. We need to be the same way. Once we have forgiven someone, let's just forget it. We have a tendency to like to accumulate those and bring them back when they make another mistake. Don't do that to your wife. Don't do that to your husband. Don't do that to your children. Take care of each one when they come. And get them taken care of. That's what God does for us. And he wants us to have such a close relationship that when he comes, we'll know he has forgiven us for our sins and he's prepared a place for us and we're going home. He was going to bring his children of Israel back, wasn't he? I'm going to bring you back from all the places you're scattered. And talk about a world church. This world church has members scattered all over the world. Some of them black, yellow, white. And Jesus is coming soon, folks. Let's get the stuff out of our lives that shouldn't be there. I'm appalled at how many things we let our lives contain that we know are not right and excuse ourselves for it. Well, I'm just human. Well, that's just the way I am. Yeah, that's just the way you are, but that's not just the way God wants you to be. He wants to give you a new heart, a new nature. He wants you to be like him. And so that is our prayer today. There is a day coming very soon when Jesus says, I'm going to make everything new. This is a new year, and a lot of new things happening. We've got a mess in our country financially. And you know the best way to handle that, don't you? You know how to handle a financial crisis. The way to handle a financial crisis is to seek God's blessing. And how do you seek God's blessing? By giving more to God. We have the best opportunity now to get the gospel out. People are more ready to listen because so much trouble is coming around us. They'll listen now. Take this year, this 2009 year, the year of evangelism, and talk to your neighbor. Tell them the good hope, the good news. Jesus is coming back, and this is a mess, yes, but he'll see us through it. So the best way to handle your financial crisis is to give more to God. I could preach another sermon on that, but I'm not going to do it. It's 4 minutes to 12. I see the clock. Somebody said something in the Sabbath school about couldn't stand it when the preacher went overtime, so I heard that. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. It is a day that working for do. Oh, wonderfully. This is what the apostle is telling the Lord is to do. And God like every year. Every day, the more cares they pray about. Some pain or pain. I went outside to take a few pictures of your beautiful church after I came in. And on the way back up, one of your princess little ladies was there opening the door, and I thought I'd already made all the steps. But I missed one, so I tripped on the top step, and I went flying. My camera went flying. Everybody was sure I was going to die on the spot. I said, nah, I just picked up and dust off. All I did was I wrecked one knuckle on the rug. We trip and fall. Well, it didn't hurt a whole lot, but the gal at the door said, boy, it's going to hurt later. I don't feel a thing so far, so the Lord's been good to me. He's going to take away pain. There'll be no more pain, folks. The former things have passed away. But this is the phrase I want to leave you with. He that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. I need a new body. I don't know about you. I can't hear anymore. I've got two of these things and glasses, all kinds of stuff that I add to myself so I can manage. What a day it will be when all of that can be thrown away. We'll have vision that we've never seen, things that we'll just be amazed at. In the Sabbath school class, they were talking about Ellen White coming back after a vision. And she'd come back to this world and she says, it's all dark, it's all dark. Well, she'd been up there where all that glory was, and the earth looked terribly dark to her when she came back. Hey, we're going to have eyes that can take that glory. Won't that be fantastic? I make all things new, he said to me. And in case you don't believe it, write these words, for they are true and faithful. It's God's word. He's going to make it all new. He's even going to give us a new heart. But, you know, we won't get in on all that new stuff unless we let him give us a new heart now. So now's the time for us to be making characters that are fit for his kingdom. Now's the time to start getting along with each other. And I notice you got a sweetheart banquet or something coming up. Boy, I hope you think of all the good things you need to tell your wife or your husband, and you tell them on that occasion, because we've got so much to be thankful for. And we ought to be praising God all the time. Thank you, praise team, for your excellent praise this morning. I appreciated it. It's been good to be with you folks. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with you in God's kingdom. But I earnestly pray, and I hope that you will pray, that the Lord will give us new hearts. There's a simple little song I've asked the organist to play, organ or piano, whichever she chooses. I'm just going to sing one verse of it, so I won't go much beyond 12. Here, we're already 1 minute past. I know, I've got my clock too. This one is, a heart like thine. It says, give me a love that knows no ill. Take the crab apples away. Give me delicious apples. Give me a heart that knows no ill. Give me a grace to do thy will. pardon and cleanse this soul of mine. Give me a heart like thine. Give me a love that knows no ill. Give me the grace to do thy will. Pardon and cleanse this soul of mine. Give me a heart like thine. Come to my soul, blessed Jesus. Hear me, O Savior divine. Open the fountain and cleanse me. Give me a heart like thine. And now you get to ask the Lord to do something too. Hymn number 316, live out thy life within me. That's your response hymn today. Open your hymn book. Stand with me and let's sing it together. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou thyself the answer to all my questionings. Live out thy life within me. In all things have thy way. I, the transparent medium, thy glory to display. The temple has been yielded and purified of sin. Let thy Shekinah glory now shine forth from within. And all the earth keep silence, the body henceforth be thy silent, gentle servant, moved only as by thee. Its members every moment held subject to thy call, ready to have thee use them, or not be used at all. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou thyself the glory, the sense of vain regret. But restful, calm, and pliant, from bend and bias free, awaiting thy decision when thou hast need of me. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou thy glorious answer to all my questionings. Our loving Father, thank you for the wonderful promise that you will give us a new heart, a clean heart. You'll take away that hard heart and give us a soft one. And that you'll live out your life within us. We've just prayed that in this song. And we know that as we have asked you to do it, that you have continued that process. And I pray that each day, each moment of the day, that we will allow you to have first place in our hearts, in our life, and that you will indeed live out your life within us, so that when you come back, Lord, we can look up and say, this is my God. I've been waiting for you, Lord, and I know that you will take us home. We want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.